Wake up, America!
Wake up, America. It's time for Michael Dean After Dark. I'm your host, Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, and this is the Late Night Feisty Liberty Show. We have a rotating stable of interesting insomniac co-hosts. Plus, we leave the phone lines open. So if the hamster in your brain is keeping you up, please call in. Yeah, that's right, people. You can call in. If the hamster in your brain is keeping you awake. Got a little late start here because I was talking with my co-host, Derek J, and he is just such... He's a mouthy one, man, and he just kept me going and looking at stuff, and then we got in an argument. We always do before each time Derek and I get on. I get in an argument with him to get him up to speed. Are you ready there, Derek?
Hey, I'm here with you.
Up to your fighting. What's that?
It's so great to be with you.
Thanks, man. Thanks. Yeah, I don't really fight with you, but we get feisty without even trying, don't we?
Yeah, you put me on guard, I'll say.
On guard.
I always have to make sure that I'm at my best.
Yeah, because I'm really square and have lots of rules and regulations as to what we're doing. And, you know, I got an email today just now from Nikki Darling telling me something that I knew, but other people are concerned about it, too. There was a big earthquake in Yellowstone, about 3.5 hour drive from me today, which is an active underground volcano and caldera. And people predicted for a long time that the end is nigh. What do you think about that, Derek J?
I don't believe that for a second. I've been hearing that for a while. But were you affected by the earthquake? Did you feel it at all?
I was asleep, and it did not wake me up, so I didn't hear it. I don't know. I don't know if people... my wife was awake. She did not feel it. So I think it was pretty mild. 4.0, whatever, something 100 miles away, 200 miles away is not something you usually feel in my experience from California. You can. It's possible. But if you're walking across the room, you probably won't notice it.
I hope everyone's okay.
I hope so, too. Yeah, everyone. I think everyone is. But it was one of those, like, you know, if it was in Nevada out by the desert, nobody'd care at all. But it was... At well, put it this way. There are three or four major Hollywood movies that include as a plot point earthquake in Yellowstone sets off volcano that wipes out a lot of the Mountain West. But, you know, it may come, and I may be in New Hampshire when it comes because I'm going to Porkfest with my wife.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm so excited. Porkfest is a fun event happening in New Hampshire, and I can't wait to see you there. Isn't this your first time?
It is my first time, and it's kind of a hell freezes over thing. I mean, a lot of people are like, oh, cool, you're going to be there. And then other people who've known me for a while and have been bugging me for years to go are really excited about it because my standard answer has been, I'm not going to do that. I'm never going to fly again. I wouldn't drive that far. I'm not going to do it. I can talk to all those people on the internet all day anyway. So it's kind of a hell freezes over moment.
I'd really like to give you a big hug. Ever since I've heard you and hear all of the great things you do, I'm a hugging type of person. And I'm wondering if you're the type of person who would receive a hug from me.
Yeah, I'll take a hug, man. I'm from California.
All right. You're a lover, not a fighter.
Yeah. Yep. So, yeah, I'm going to be speaking there, too. I'm going to be showing some movies and speaking. I got asked to speak. Bill Buport and Ian Freeman and other people told people who make decisions that I should speak there. And they asked me to speak there, and I appreciate them doing that. That's pretty darn cool. I like that. We got a phone.
I anticipate it's going to be packed.
Maybe, maybe. But, you know, with people that have never spoken there before that are not rock stars, they tend to... put them on at like 6 a.m. on Monday morning, Tuesday morning, and see who shows up. But I'll do it. I'll get up for it. I'll just stay up for it because I'm going to be doing this show, Michael Dean After Dark, live from Porkfest also. And that's like 1 a.m. to 3 a.m. East Coast time. And at Porkfest, that's like, you know, all the good Christian people are asleep and the people that are awake are like drunken heathens vomiting and having relations in the woods. Right.
Yeah, but that's great audio. So we're gonna put that on it.
We're going to go to the phone. We have a call from Teresa in Evansville, Indiana. And are you there, Teresa, from Evansville, Indiana?
Yes, I am.
Hi. Are you listening on the radio?
I'm listening on both.
On both what? The internet and the radio? Doesn't that have an echo?
Yes, it does.
What station are you listening on?
Lord, I cannot remember to tell you exactly. I've been busy.
Okay, what's on your mind? What have you been busy with?
Well, I am calling on behalf of a very dear friend of mine. His name is Charlie Harwell.
Okay.
And he's a wonderful, fabulous singer, songwriter, multi-musician that has a up-and-coming tour in Texas of this year. It's called the Yellow Rose of Texas. That's coming soon.
Okay. We are not on the radio in Texas, so if you wanted to just give out the URL, we'll let you do that. What's the URL? What's the web address?
I'm not sure what his web address is.
Okay, what's his name one more time, and then I'm going to let you go, because this isn't really relevant to what we're talking about on this show.
Okay, that's fine.
What's his name? What's his name, though?
Charlie Harwell.
Charlie Harwell. All right, I appreciate it. Thank you for your call. So, yeah, Derek, we were talking about how my life is going to end in a fiery volcano. And that call didn't really have much to do with it or Pork Fest. So Pork Fest, man, talk about Pork Fest. Tell people what it is. Why is it called Pork Fest?
Pork Fest is the Porcupine Freedom Festival. And it's like 1,000 or 2,000 people who gather from all over the world.
I think there were 1,200 last year, but every year for 11 years, there's been more people. So there'll probably be more than 1,200 people this year.
Exactly.
Especially since I'm speaking there. And even before I was speaking, in one day, four people told me I wasn't planning on going, but I'm going to go now just to meet you and shake your hand in person. So,
oh, you've made it a very special event. And yeah, like them, I want to shake your hand, but I even want to go a step further and give you a big hug. Maybe a kiss on the cheek if you'll accept that too. But Pork Fest is...
Dude, I'm from California. You can kiss me on the cheek. All right. I'm not going to get shy.
I'm from the East Coast, so a lot of squares out
here.
Yeah,
man, you guys wear ties to do the news. That's how uptight you are back east.
Well, I think Porcupine Freedom Fest is so much fun because everyone gets to. It happens in the White Mountains of New Hampshire, so right off the bat, you get a beautiful environment to just be one with nature, if that's what you're into, and. The second coolest part is being surrounded by all those freedom-loving people, people who just want to exchange voluntarily with others. Some people set up businesses and sell T-shirts and hats. Other people vend food. And it's all about providing for one another and more than that, achieving the goal of liberty in our lifetime. That's really what those people come together to celebrate and to achieve. So that's why I go. It's always a great event. There's something for everyone. Like, even if you're a family person and you're bringing the kids, or you're a single young guy who's looking to have some fun, there's something for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, if I was going to call into a radio show and, like, not be calling in about what they were talking about, and I was going to be, like, pimping my friend's band, I would at least know his web address. And we were gracious. We gave her a chance to, like, hijack our show and give out the web address, and she didn't even know the web address. That's poor planning, and I just had to hang up on her.
Yeah, I was surprised by that. I mean, is this really a friend, or is it an enemy?
of the singer? I think it's a friend. It's not a friend or enemy of me. It's not even a frenemy of me. I have no idea who that was. But, you know, it's live radio, and you can call in if you want. We should probably give out the number, but we do get calls without even giving out the number. But if you want to call in to Michael Dean After Dark, if the hamster in your brain is keeping you awake, the number is 1-855-660-4261. That's 1-855-660-4261. Or you can Skype us at kittyfeet1. That's like the feet of a cat, kittyfeet1. And we'll add you and put you on, and it might be good. All right, so Derek, what else? What else is going on at Pork Fest?
Well, people are going to be performing concerts. There's a big gay dance party, which is one of the fixtures of the event. That's what it's always been called.
It looks to be like the big omnisexual dance party from video I've seen.
Well, there are a lot of people of all different persuasions who enjoy dancing with each other, but that's
are what they going to try to persuade me to be gay if I go to
no
okay it's not that kind of persuasion.
No way. It's just what the event is called. And you know, sometimes people dress up in funny costumes. I just went normal last year, just regular, you know, just go out and dance. And this year it's going to be even bigger and better. They've got it
bigger and gayer.
Well, yeah, there's like lights. I mean, people put a lot of effort into making a party happen.
Let me ask you this. It looks interesting to me. I've seen a lot of pictures from it. I don't really dance, but I would go to a dance party, check it out. But I'm assuming, based on the costuming, that the music is horrible. Is the music horrible?
I don't know why.
It looks like a rave, man. It looks like a rave, and I hate rave music.
Okay, well, people can recommend their own music ahead of time, and I have done that. So I've submitted a couple of songs I hope that you'll enjoy, and maybe you'll dance to. It's totally cool to have wallflowers at the party.
Wallflowers. Like I'm shy because I don't dance. No, man.
Well, I'm not saying that's...
I got a bad knee. I got a bad knee, man. I had a motorcycle accident and had surgery. But so give me an example of four artists whose music might be played in 1 hour there.
I don't know the names of specific artists because it's all DJ-style music. So
I'm going to go to the big goth dance party. There's also a big goth dance party, which probably suits me more.
Oh, yeah, I want that, too. I didn't even know that was happening.
Yeah, man. Go to porkfest.com. That's porkfest.com for more information. It's at Rogers Campground. Listen to me. I'm on the radio pimping Porkfest. Whoever would have thunk it? That's kind of mind-blowing.
It's pork with a C, and that's because it stands for porcupine.
Yeah.
Because like one of the things that these people seem to embody, at least to
people,
me, something I want to embody, is the spirit of a porcupine. And that basically means to me that I keep to myself, do my own thing, and leave everybody alone, but don't come after me, you know?
You're spiny.
Like, defenses.
Yeah, self-defensive. Yeah, it's porcupine's kind of like a hamster with armor.
They're cute, and like they're almost fuzzy, you know? Like, but they're just a little too spiky. Don't get too close.
This is kind of funny. I've never talked about this, but I actually poked a porcupine in New Hampshire with a board when I was 15. It was keeping me up. I was sleeping in a chicken coop, and it was chewing on the chicken coop. So I woke up and took a board and just poked it. And I got about 70 quills on the board and saved them for a long time. We'll be back. I'm Michael Dean After Dark, talking about the Porcupine Freedom Festival. Yeah.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark. And I'm speaking directly to you. Yes, you. When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com. It's After Dark. It's After Dark, and this is Michael Dean, and this is Michael Dean After Dark. And if you want to call in, and you are actually listening to Michael Dean After Dark, you can call in at 1-855-660-4261. That's 1-855-660-4261, or you can Skype in at Kitty Feet 1, like the feet of a cat, 1. And we're talking about Porkfest, that's P-O-R-C-F-E-S-T. .com, which is an event that Derek's going to be at, and I'm going to be at. I'm going to be speaking and showing the films Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, and the movie DIY or Die, How to Survive as an Independent Artist, and doing Q&As about no-budget filmmaking and audio production after each of them. So, Derek, it's kind of... Here's the thing. You've been arrested a bunch of times, right?
Yes, I have, unfortunately.
So you're a hardened criminal and a thug, and you're in a gang, or what? Why do you get arrested so much, man?
Not at all. I get arrested because I stand on principle, and sometimes that's
means, against the law.
Yeah, sometimes that's conflict with the law, unfortunately.
Any felonies?
No, fortunately no felonies ever.
How many times have you been arrested?
5 times.
Man, I've never been arrested. I spent the night in jail once for drunk in public, but I was not arrested. I was in the drunk tank.
Yeah. I was sentenced to 540 days in jail. Fortunately, I only served 90. I only had to serve 90, and then I ended up serving 60. The rest is suspended on good behavior. But jail is really the worst experience I ever had. And
this show good behavior? I wouldn't think it would be to the state. I would think it would be bad behavior. Bad boy.
The it's actually obedient behavior. They don't put it that way, but as long as you follow all the rules and dot all the I's, then you're fine.
Yeah, and I think if they actually forbid someone from doing a radio show too, it would really be easy to have a constitutional challenge on that.
Yeah, well, they haven't forbidden me to do anything in particular. Just don't get arrested.
Man, yeah. So, you filmed or have had people film a lot of times when you've been arrested. You've kind of made performance art out of it in a way. Would you say
yeah,
that?
Activism? You know, yeah, when I moved to New Hampshire as part of this attempt to live more free, and I just want freedom in my lifetime, and I don't know how to achieve it, but I'm trying different things. And one of them was to just live on my conscience. You know, whatever I think that I should do, just do that. You know, follow your heart. And doing this can get you in trouble, so I carried a video camera around with me everywhere I went, made sure to always have a video camera recording just in case something went wrong or something made me feel endangered. If I had an objective record of what was happening around me, then I felt a lot safer. So,
and that turned into a movie, Derek J's Victimless Crime Spree, which is a really good movie, and I highly recommend it. You can watch it all on YouTube, or what's the website? DerekJ'sVictimlessCrimeSpree.com?
It's actually simpler. It's VictimlessCrimeSpree.com.
There you go. Or you can Google that, and it'll come up. It's a really good movie, and I highly recommend it. I like it a lot. Now,
thanks a lot. I learned a lot in making it, not just about film production, but about you know, tactics and strategies when engaging with the state.
You know, there's I watch a lot of 70s TV shows when I'm bored on Netflix, because I was a latchkey kid and I was kind of raised by the TV, and which made me smarter, not being watching TV, but being a latchkey kid, because I'd also go to the library a lot. We lived two blocks away. So I didn't have parents, you know, they were busy both working 80 hours a week, which is where I get my work ethic from, of being self-employed and working 80 hours a week. But there's this show called Dragnet. I mean, not Dragnet, Adam 12. Did you ever see Adam 12?
One Adam 12.
Yeah, it was one of the first, you know, cop procedural ride-along kind of movie, TV shows that showed cops doing their job, how the LAPD wanted you to think they behaved. And, you know, they'd mix in some personal stories. One guy had a wife who was drunk, the other guy, whatever. You know, they had personal stories mixed in. But there was one episode where somebody was following the cops with a movie camera, which is like in the 70s to film stuff with movie cameras, you had to pay like $1 a minute for the film, for 16 millimeter film, and then develop it and have separate audio recording. And there were two guys with an audio recorder and a 16 millimeter camera, like following the cops, and they had a police scanner or a police radio. And like, the cops were like getting mad at him because they were getting up in their grill, but basically saying, you have the First Amendment right to do that. Ha. Huh? Like the LAPD would have done that in the 60s. But it was pretty interesting that in the 70s, actually, there was probably someone doing that, because those shows are always ripped from the headlines, you know, which basically means the writers are lazy and just open up the newspaper for ideas. We'll be back with more on Film the Police. And we'll not play the hip-hop song, because even the radio version is not radio-friendly. I found that out the hard way before. Film the Police, coming straight out the underground.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Guns and Weed, Buy Sheep for Sheep on Sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Michael Dean After Dark. Michael Dean After Dark. And I will be rocking Pork Fest After Dark on Michael Dean After Dark at Rogers Campground, June 22nd through 29th. And you can still get tickets for Pork Fest if you go to porcfest.com. So, Derek, we listened to a song during the break that blew your mind, and it blew my mind the first 100 times I heard it. It's called Film the Police. And Film the Police is such a good, it's such a good rap tune. You should go to the YouTubes right now and search Film the Police if you're listening, and stop listening to this show until, you know, I'm not saying don't listen to the ads. Come back in time for the ads. We like our advertisers, but it's a 6-minute song. Just go listen to it right now and forget about this show and come back when it's over. And we'll be talking about something else like Film the Police, but because that's going to be the rest of the show probably. So, Derek, what'd you think of that song?
Well, this was my first time hearing Film the Police, and it made me excited to be a media producer. As my initial thought was, look at how cool this video is, and like the people who are going to look back on this years from now and say, what were you doing when you know, there was police abuse happening? Did you do anything to stop it? And, you know, me and others get to say, yeah, we took out our video cameras and we documented it, you know, and made sure that this wasn't forgotten about. We kept objective records of this.
Grandpa, tell me about the state.
Right.
Instead of telling war stories, we'll tell state stories about back when there was governments and oppression. So my favorite line, there's a lot of great lines in this, and most of them are not radio friendly, but one of them is, you've got a weapon in your pocket, whether you know it or not. And they're talking about your cell phone camera. That's a pretty awesome way to put it, you know?
Well, I don't think of it. I mean, I guess
it's defense.
It's a peaceful tool. I don't think of it as a weapon.
Oh, you hippie. You're such a hippie.
It can't do anything, and people don't...
what are you talking about? It can throw cops in prison, man. It's a weapon. It's a weapon of self-defense.
Okay. Yeah, I that's totally valid. That's why I use them, is to keep an objective record, but I don't think of it as a weapon. I mean, I guess it is. You're pointing something out to me that I didn't realize before.
Well, it's kind of got some similar characteristics of a gun. Let's put it that way. A cell phone... first of all, you shoot both of them. You shoot video and you shoot a gun. You point both of them at somebody. And, you know, it's a witness in your pocket, basically, which is kind of magical. Because getting back to that thing of an Adam 12, like, you know, there were two guys carrying around like 40 pounds of audio and video equipment to follow the cops in the 70s in this show. And that's what it would take to do then. And it would totally not be something you would just happen to have in your pocket. You'd have, you know, you might bring it to a protest or something, but most of the video of cops oppressing people that's on YouTube and elsewhere is filmed by people who didn't wake up that day and say, I'm going to film a cop abusing somebody. They just happen to be there. Like the lady in LA that went for a, or San Francisco, was it, that went for a jog recently and just ended up being tasered and thrown to the ground for jogging. Do you know about that one?
Yes, unfortunately, I did hear about that.
Yeah, so...
No, it's not people's first time experiencing the police abuse. They see it happening first, and then they say, oh my goodness, I should do something to prevent this in the future. And the next time they see something happening, or they see a member of the badged class walk by, they know that they have their camera ready. And so
I'll also say this, you know, and he's using weapon figuratively too, like it's a way to fight back, not like it's a way to aggress. But I think that you're right. Not really a gun guy. You've shot guns, but you don't carry them, and you don't really think of, I don't know. I don't think you have the same opinion that I do on guns as like keys, wallet, phone, guns. You know, like that's what I don't leave the house without those four things.
I used to be.
Okay.
I was under the impression that during my suspended sentence, that's something that I have to refrain from doing. So yeah. It's a bit of an infringement. But I used to open carry while I lived in New Hampshire.
Okay. I didn't know that. The other ways it's like a weapon, it's something small and concealable that fits in your pocket that keeps you from being powerless. And it is something that cops are almost as upset if you pull it out as if you pull out a gun. They do not like to be filmed in a lot of situations. Have you found that to be true?
Yeah, and I've found it to be true in when I was open carrying, because I went to a city council meeting when I first moved to New Hampshire, and I was open carrying both a
camera and a gun.
And a camera. And the bureaucrat who I was speaking with ran away from me when I pulled out the camera. He didn't have any problem carrying a gun.
Well, he probably had a problem with it, but he didn't run away. Yeah.
Right.
Because,
really scared him.
Because most people, most of the time, they're open carrying a gun, never draw it. Most people carrying a camera are there to draw it. That's another difference and similarity.
Yeah. Yeah. And it gives the bureaucrats or whoever the opportunity to put their foot in their mouths. And then that record is there forever. And I think that's what they're most afraid of. Now, they have re-elections to worry about. And if the wrong video gets out to the public, that's in jeopardy.
What gun did you carry when you were carrying?
A Walther P-22. Just a small little
pink?
Gun. I wanted the pink one. They didn't have it. No, it was black.
That is a girly gun, and that's not why I'm saying is it pink. I had a Walther 222, Walther 22. It's actually the most ergonomic weapon I've ever held in my hand. I don't have really big hands. I carry a Glock Model 23, which is a little big for me, but I can handle it. But my wife carries one too. But we're not going to travel with guns to New Hampshire because we're going to be on a plane. And you can take guns on planes, but I don't want to. It's extra hassle. And they write down the serial number and all that. So it's basically registering your guns that are unregistered when you fly in a plane with them. But a friend of mine's going to lend me one. It's a spare that belongs to his daughter who's not going to be there. And it's her spare gun. She also has a gun. But I said, hey, so-and-so, can I borrow a gun while I'm at Porkfest? He's like, if you don't mind if it's pink. I'm like, I don't mind. So
how many pink guns does this person have? Is that all his loans are pink?
Yeah, his loan. You know, that's kind of funny. I have a 2-shot. What are the little tiny guns called? What are they called, DJ? Derringer. Oh, 2-shot Derringer. I actually bought it for my wife, and she was like, "Okay, I'll just keep this with the jewelry in the jewelry case because it's not a real gun, but it is a real gun, but it's like not a real carry gun." But
yeah, that's the kind you wear a fedora hat and say, see?
Yeah, see? Yeah. But it's actually my gardening gun. If I'm gardening in the front yard in shorts, I have it because it'll fit in the shorts without a holster. And it's small. It's better than no gun. You know, they say that a handgun is to fight your way back to your rifle in a siege. Well, this is the gun to fight your way back to your handgun, but to your sidearm. But a friend of mine was in town, and he's a gun guy, but he didn't bring a gun because he was on some corporate retreat or something, and I guess, I don't know why he didn't bring a gun, but I was like, well, I got this little one I can lend you. And he's like, no, thanks. And I told Boston Tea Party about that later because he knows the guy. And he's like, Derringer, that's kind of like the bad tie they lend you in a good restaurant when you show up without a tie.
Oh, man. Well, it's good. I really enjoyed New Hampshire culture. It was the first time I really experienced gun culture. I'm from New Jersey and Philadelphia area originally. People don't walk around carrying
guns. Gun culture in Philly and New Jersey is getting a gun shoved in your face and getting mugged.
That's right. Yeah, you're really only on the receiving end, and people aren't allowed to have them.
Or
so
cops.
People who have them are criminals.
Yeah.
Cops.
Well, right. It's not to say there aren't honest citizen gun owners in those states, but
they can't openly wear them. I mean, they're really endangered by the police, even if they do it lawfully. However, when I was in New Hampshire, it was totally different. People walking into restaurants, shopping at clothes stores, and everyone seemed to have one just like a cell phone.
Yeah.
It was really different, and it made me feel extra comfortable. You know, I knew that the stores that I was in aren't going to get robbed while there are like 50 people with guns in there.
Yeah, and you know, Ian Freeman has one of the most interesting opinions on guns I've ever heard because it's entirely unique. He's fine with people having guns. He doesn't need to carry one because he's constantly surrounded in his home and elsewhere by people who have guns. And he's actually kind of ethically against for himself carrying a gun, yet he owns an AK-47 that's in a closet. That's so weird, man. I think that's the only person on the planet like that.
Yeah, I can't imagine. Well, you don't walk around with an AK-47. It kind of belongs.
Some people do. Some people do.
That's fair.
Yeah.
But that isn't the kind of message that he wants to send, I think. You know, if people preach peace, I think it behooves them to have an image that matches that message.
Yeah.
And for Ian, he's got like a Gandhi-like figure. He's real skinny and wears simple clothes. And wearing a gun just would add a confusing element.
Well,
to that
he could conceal it too. But no, I have a lot of respect for him for a lot of reasons, and that's one of them. And you know, I said you're not a gun guy, and then was corrected. And I'm not really a gun guy any more than I'm a chainsaw guy. I own a chainsaw, but I'm not a chainsaw guy, or any more than I'm a cell phone guy. I carry a cell phone when I leave the house, and I carry a gun when I leave the house, but you know, I mean, I kind of look at it like, you know, carrying a little emergency cash. Like people say, why would you carry a gun? You probably won't need that ever. And I'm like, yeah, and these days I probably don't need to spend cash ever, but I carry a little bit just in case I need it, you know?
Yeah, it's smart. And at least you have the freedom to do it where you live. Not everyone does, so it's fun to exercise rights.
Yeah. So we're talking about filming people and exercising that right. Now, you wanted to talk a bit about live streaming of video, which is kind of an extra layer of self-defense with filming the police, because police often take your cell phone away when they put you into custody, whether they arrest you or not. In some states, they can copy your hard drive and they carry equipment to do that, which is clearly a violation of several amendments. And they also will delete video of them doing things they don't want people to see occasionally. So if you can stream it while it's happening to the cloud or to YouTube, the cops can't do anything about it. Now, think about how magical that is compared to the 70s when to film police, you had to carry 40 pounds of gear that was worth a couple $1,000s in money back then, which is a lot more now. So it's magic. It's basically like I have a witness to what's being done to me or my friends that is beyond being taken away from me. That's magic, man. That's almost like sci-fi, you know, 40 years ago.
Have you ever live streamed anything, Michael?
Not in the sense we're talking about.
Okay.
I have like done an unconference on YouTube, you know, where I was streaming with a camera to YouTube and talking to people, and then they could watch it while it happened, and then it got put on YouTube. But
there's amazing value there. I mean, that's something to shout about too. It's just a different application of the same technology, right?
Yeah, and we're going to talk about this a bunch in this segment and the next, and then I actually want to talk a bit about streaming audio, which is how a lot of people are listening to us right now, and how to set up your own, you know, LRN-type streaming station, because we need more of that, and I really feel like radio is not going to be cool like it is now in a few years. I feel like terrestrial radio, FCC-licensed, they're going to kick everyone off in a few years. So internet's going to be the way to go. Streaming on a .bit domain. We'll be back. This is Michael Dean, After Dark with Derek J, which is what usually happens on Sunday nights here, and it's a great thing. We'll be back after this trip to the market.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Michael Dean, After Dark.
MeowBit is free software from the Freedom Fiends that allows you to effortlessly view .bit websites. MeowBit works on all browsers. .bit is a new type of web address that's not controlled by any government or corporation. And we'll show you how to register a .bit domain today using a few cents worth of Namecoin. If anyone ever shuts down your .com website, users will still be able to get to your site using your .bit address and our free software, MeowBit. Go to meowbit.com. That's MeowBit.com. Hug your kitties tight, boys and girls. It's snowing here in Wyoming. I wonder if it's snowing where you are. Is it snowing where you are, Derek?
Nope. It's dry.
Where are you? Philly?
I'm in the Philly area, yes.
Cool. I went to boarding school in the Philly area. Did you know that?
No.
Paoli, Exton. You know where that is?
I have never heard of that, but it sounds lovely.
It's 40 miles. It's, well, man, it was the Church Farm School. How lovely was that? I don't know.
I can't even imagine.
Yeah. it's about 38 miles down the main line, if that means anything to you. Down the 40?
I stay right in the city. I don't leave the metropolitan area because I need Starbucks and other type infusions.
Nice. All right, so we're going to talk about streaming video where you... you're filming your friends get beaten up by the cops and you want to have it for witness to the world and maybe in court, and you're worried the cops are going to beat you up too and take your cell phone and destroy it, which they might. So what are some options, Derek J?
Well, the best thing to do is to live stream. There are several apps which are totally free. The website copblock.org recommends a few apps. If you want to go by their recommendations, there's ones for iOS, if you have an iPhone or an Android phone, there's a free app called Bamboozer. That's the one I use. And it's easy because it sets up one button you get it set up the first time, and then you're able to pretty much just click through if you need to live stream quickly. And the feature that I like about Bamboozer in particular is that it's low latency, so the videos go up relatively quickly. They're not high quality, but the videos get online. And
yeah.
They don't wait around. There's no slow uploads.
Do they go to your YouTube channel?
No, they go to your Bamboozer channel. So you sort of set it up like it's its own social network thing. And you can like friend each other and follow their channels. So if, you know, say you friended me on that Bamboozer site, you would get a message when I go live. So if something's happening to me, you could just, hey, tune in. And you're seeing what's happening to me live. And then you can even chat and interact with people. But one of the features that I like most about Bamboozer that other free apps don't have is that it continues to record even when the screen goes black. And this is important because you mentioned that cameras are something like a gun in that police are afraid of them, and especially when they're pointed at them. When video camera is recording and it doesn't look like it's recording, well, it's no longer threatening to the police, and so they act more calm, and that's what you want. I want calm police. I want a calm interaction.
Yeah, that might be a use for things like Google Glass and maybe homemade versions of that where you have glasses cameras, which probably in some states get into wiretapping laws, but in other states it's probably legal. I don't know. I'm not an attorney. You should consult your attorney of choice. But we're also looking at this thing. You and I were looking at this thing called Riot NAS, Mobile Storage for Street Photography. Do you know what that is?
It's only what I've read about it.
Yeah, it's basically a way to have a backup that several cameras can opt in to wirelessly transmit to at the location. So like say you have a demonstration and the people who are, you know, you have the people up front who are demonstrating or protesting who are likely to get arrested. And then you have some friends a little further back filming them. And then you have somebody else like 100 feet away, 100 yards away, whatever, you know, like say at a cafe who's not even looking like they're involved. So they're not going to get searched, who has in their handbag this Riot NAS, it's called. I don't know why they put the word riot in it. That's kind of, it wouldn't only work at riots. But it's basically so you can have another backup of it that somebody who doesn't even look like they're involved who can just walk away later and upload it to YouTube or wherever. I would the website for if you search RIOTNAS, you'll get it on Google. You know what I'd like to see too is apps for putting it, streaming it to your own computer so you don't have to rely on a third, you know, a service that can be shut down or with a government piece of paper forced to give up the video. Maybe as a secondary backup. All right, Derek, we'll be back. Say worms.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark. Go to michaelwdean.com. That's michaelwdean.com.
Good evening, my fellow worms.
I know some things I don't know.
I'll be back with more later on.
I'm never satisfied.
This is Michael Dean After Dark.
È stato sperimentato.
The United States government presents
no vision. Congrats.
Not having enough money.
The power was so great.
Estos por su parte consideran
to provide guidance to mankind.
Go to michaelwdean.com for more. That's michaelwdean.com. We'll be back for hour two after this trip to the market on Michael Dean After Dark.
Bye for now.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Greetings, kitty cats. This is Michael Dean. It's After Dark. You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark on Genesis Communications Networks. On the Genesis Communications Networks. And you can call us at 1-855-660-4261. That's 1-855-660-4261. And over in this corner, weighing 106 pounds, we've got Derek J. Freeman. How you doing, Derek?
Oh, man, I wish I weighed 106. No, I weighed myself today. I'm a little heavier than that.
How much do you weigh? Let's really get you on the radio here.
166.
166? Yeah, but you're like 7 feet tall, aren't you?
Nope. I'm 5'10", so I'm getting a little heavy. But you know,
I'm 5'5", and I weigh 180.
I'll start getting my beach bod.
I look like Barney Rubble, man, in person.
I can imagine that. That's so perfect. Well, I think it's important that people tell.
That's why I never like I love music that would be considered goth, like old school goth. You know, Bauhaus and Christian Death, I guess, was one of the bands, and a whole bunch of other stuff I used to like, Love and Rockets. But I never really fit in at the goth scene. And what I used to say was my brain, my heart is Peter Murphy. My body's Barney Rubble. And that just doesn't work in goth, man.
No, I guess not. Did you dance goth?
I don't know. I just went. Although if you look at Michael Dean After Dark or MichaelDean.com, the Michael Dean After Dark site, somebody did an image of me that looks really goth. Did you see that? It looks like the cover of a Death Clock record. Yeah,
it's a little Uncle Fester too.
Uncle Fester, there you go. That's my goth character is Uncle Fester. Thanks a lot, man. All right, so you talk for an hour. I'm going to answer my fan mail because you called me Uncle Fester. So I'm going to make myself feel better by answering this like 20 or 30 fan mails that I haven't answered in the past hour. Or the past day, actually. So go ahead, man. It's your show.
I think the most important thing we left off on if you're filming the police, maybe the laws might say that you have to let them know. I just do it every time, regardless of what the laws are. You know, if someone's filming me, I'd like them to tell me, so I offer the same courtesy to everyone else. What do you think, Michael? Do you let the police know, or have you even filmed police before?
The last time I talked to a cop was 4.5 years ago when I got my concealed carry permit.
We should all be so lucky.
And it was really friendly, and it was like it ended up in a discussion of the best firearm to carry as a sidearm.
That's awesome. Actually, that sounds like I wish it was on video.
Because here's the funny thing. In Wyoming, a lot of cops still carry revolvers, which is kind of charming and cool. And like, you know, other than capacity and weight, there's nothing wrong with a revolver. I mean, a .357 Magnum is way more powerful than a .40 or a .9 or your little pink girly gun you used to carry. It's mm-hmm. a devastatingly powerful, you know, you can stop a mountain lion with one, which is actually a lot more of a threat here than getting, you know, a knife pulled on you by a street criminal. I hear there's bears at Porkfest. I saw a video, but they look pretty friendly and far away.
Whoa, I've never seen a bear or any animals at Porkfest.
You never seen the video? Dave Ridley shot video of two, I don't know if they're juvenile or not. They were kind of small, like 125-pound probably black bears in the dumpsters at like 5:30 in the morning as the sun was coming up.
Wow, that actually scares me quite a bit. Maybe I'll borrow someone's gun while I'm at Porkfest.
Yeah, but the thing is, most of the guns, first of all, you don't want to shoot a bear just because you see it, and they were pretty far away. And secondly, most handguns will just make a bear angry. Seriously.
That's what I hear. So maybe I need bear spray while I'm there.
You know, in Wyoming, forest rangers, you know, carry a sidearm, but they also carry bear spray. I mean, I think part of that's political correctness because, you know, don't shoot the bears. They're everyone's property. But I think it's also literally bear spray is probably more effective than a handgun because a handgun is not going to stop a bear. It may die from it, but after it's eaten you and mauled you to death. So, you know, to stop a bear, you pretty much need a rifle or a shotgun. And a handgun is not going to do it, which is not to say that if a bear were about to eat me and charging at me, I wouldn't empty my handgun into it. But, you know, I mean, animals are vicious per pound. Like a mountain lion you know, that, or even like a lynx or, you know, any of these, a bobcat. Like a bobcat weighs like 30 pounds. It weighs like twice what a fat house cat weighs, and it can destroy you, you know?
Yeah, well, even small animals, you say per pound, like raccoons. Have you ever seen just tiny raccoons? They will gnaw your face off.
Yeah.
They're vicious creatures.
House cats, man. I mean, house cats, I think part of the amusement that we have with house cats, and we were talking about how they might be aliens. We were joking about that during the break. But part of the amusement for it to me is how utterly still wild they are. Like, they're not really domesticated the way dogs are. Dogs are completely subservient to their master. You know, they will run into a burning building and pull you out. If your house is burning, your cats will just leave if they can, you know, and go find another house. They love you, and they love human warmth and human companionship, but, and they do get an affinity to their particular person, but they really, you can just tell, man, they're still wild. They're not really civilized the way dogs are. They're kind of anarchist, and they're kind of like, leave me alone. Yeah, I'll tolerate you as long as you feed me. But sometimes when they're just playing, they'll bite and scratch so hard that you have to think, like, if they weighed twice what they did, they'd put you in the hospital when they do that, you know?
Yeah, sometimes they do put their owners in the hospital. And they're not intentionally. I think the cats, you know, they just mean to play. But sometimes they get a hold of a mouse and they play. They can be so cruel. Oh, man. But we love them. I know I do.
My 15-year-old overweight cat, Charlie, is indoor-outdoor. I let her out in the enclosed backyard when I'm home and can watch her out the window. And at that age, she still hunts mice, man. And sometimes in the summer or the spring, I'll go out there if it's a little after dark, and she will be out there with a wounded mouse under her paw, lifting it up, letting it run a couple feet, and then grabbing it. And she'll do that for like an hour.
Yeah, but could she kill a bear?
No. But she has been in the mouth of a coyote and lived.
No way. Yeah. Did you see it?
I saved her. I had one of those giant mag flashlights with me. This is before I had guns.
Why did that help?
Because I threw it at the coyote as hard as I could. And
are they afraid of light?
No. I hit it with the only thing I had handy. And it yelped and dropped Charlie and ran. And we rushed Charlie to the vet. She did not have any broken skin, was not broken. Ribs were not broken. But she was just traumatized and couldn't, like, we had to force feed her food and water, like liquid food and water, for about a week.
Yeah, does she, at 15, she must be getting a little like, maybe I don't want to go outside. Like, those birds look kind of scary. Maybe there's coyotes there.
Dude, there's no coyotes around here, and there's an enclosure. And actually, a neighbor's cat climbed over the fence last year and got in the backyard, and Charlie shredded her. She is a feisty old broad, man. And and you're like, maybe she doesn't want to go outside. She demands to go outside 4 or 5 times a day. Basically, I'm a cat doorman. That's my job.
Yeah, you know, cats really do think that you are, they are your owner. You know, you made the distinction about dogs.
Like, dogs have owners, cats have staff.
That's right. You know, but you saved my life with the bear spray recommendation. When I'm at Porkfest, I'm going to make sure I carry some. But
I don't know if I saved your life, but, you know, somebody there should have some of that, because all those handguns aren't going to do a lot of good at a bear. I think we should find this during the next break, and you should watch the bear footage. It's pretty cool.
Well, speaking of footage, I want to find one of the live streaming videos that saved someone quite a bit of hassle. Pete Ayer from copblock.org was live streaming in California when some cops took some of his property while he was being detained. And he let them know that he was recording them, but they thought that, you know, since they had his property, they had turned everything off. Well, it turns out they hadn't.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that one.
So he was still recording them. He let them know that he was recording them, and they still talked about what sort of charges they were going to make up so that they could charge him and harass him. So I think it's important. You only get one shot when you're live streaming. It's going out to the world, and it's saved forever. So make sure, if it's something you have to do legally, to let the police know that you are recording them. I think it's a common courtesy thing to do for anybody. It doesn't make a difference whether or not they're police. So just let people know you're recording them. It's common courtesy.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't leave the house much. So, and all the places I'm going between here and Porkfest are, like, you know, airports where they're filming me, and then Parkfest where everybody's filming everybody.
So well, aren't I'm covered. You catching onto the bandwagon of like everyone's recording everything now? It doesn't have to be just like cop interactions or TSA interactions. Like, why don't you film like cute things that are happening out your window?
I do. Anything. Haven't you seen the footage that I did? This is related to Cop Block. Who are the two main guys in Cop Block? It's not
Pete Eyre and Adamo Freeman.
Okay, it was Adamo Freeman was on Free Talk Live, and I filmed my cat while I was listening to LRN in the background with Adamo on there talking. And I filmed my cat because she was being really cute, and then she started licking her butt. And I kept filming it, and I put it on YouTube, and it was I didn't even really think about that she was filming her butt because it wasn't for the whole video. It was just my cat being cute. And I put it on YouTube as, my cat grooms herself while Adamo Freeman talks on LRN or something like that. And Adamo saw it and was like, thanks, buddy. Like, see what your cat's doing there while I'm on the radio. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, but it's he took it too personally. Come on.
Yeah, it's funny. Yeah.
Yeah, you should be thankful for the extra play.
Yeah.
You know, people love videos of cats no matter what's going on in the back.
Cats drive the internet.
Yeah, well they click for the cat and they stay for the Adamo.
There you go. And I have another one of like my two of my cats grooming each other, not their butts, just licking each other's like napes, necks. While Stefan Molyneux is playing in the background. It's called like Pretty Kitties Lick While Stefan Talks or something.
That sounds unusual to me. Is that something normal? I only have one cat. So do cats like groom each other?
Yeah. Especially cats that were raised without a mother around for very long.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. These were feral cats that we got from a rescue that had like they don't know what happened to the mother. It was like either someone abandoned them or the mother was hit by a car or something. And they were just found like two little brother cats, kittens shivering. And these, you know, they took them to the SPCA and then they took them to a private shelter that these ladies ran out of their house in conjunction with the SPCA. And we got them when they were about 6 months and they were terrified of people. They're still kind of skittish, but they're getting better about it. I mean, they're not skittish around us, but they're skittish around strangers. We'll be back with more talk on cats and cops. The good and the ugly when we get back on Michael Dean After Dark.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
Yeah, when Derek doesn't pay attention to the show clock, I just mute him. That's what I just did. I muted Derek. Derek's watching pictures of my cat on YouTube. Watching picture of my kitty that you can find if you want to go look at it. It's called Playing with My Kitty Peanut while listening to Adamo Freeman on Free Talk Live. And Derek missed watching the time there. And so I'm just going to keep him muted and talk about how glorious my cat Peanut is and how much he looks like a soft little bunny. He's really bunny-like, bunny cat. But you know, if Peanut could, he'd probably kill me. And, you know, I do know that if, you know, we died of natural causes in our home, these cats would just eat us. Because they, you know, cats like meat and people are made of meat. They would just eat us. Don't you think, Derek?
I do. And I can vouch for the cuteness of this video. It kept me fairly distracted. But I heard a little experiment.
All right, turn the video off. Turn the video off because it's affecting your audio. Please.
I do not have the video on.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, brother. But
I saw a cute experiment with cat owners where they put the owners behind a glass wall so that the owners could see their cats, but the cat couldn't see them. And then they were like calling for them, like, come on, Charlie, come here, come here. And the cats had no interest in responding to the owners at all. Yeah. Like, I think like 80%, none of them had any response. So these cat owners who think like, oh, my cat loves me. Like, no. They just need your food.
Well, they need your food and they do like human touch, but and they'll be afraid of a new human. But, you know, cats that lose their owner from any, you know, if owner dies or, you know, owner is separated from them and they end up at a shelter, cats will readily adopt to a new human pretty quickly, and dogs will not. Dogs, I mean, you know, eventually they kind of will a little bit, but dogs really bond with one person because they are pack animals, and a dog without other dogs needs a pack leader, and that's what the owner is. I actually used to date a woman who had to get rid of her dog because her dog kept trying to dig out under her back porch, under the fence to get away, and she talked to a vet, and the vet said, it's because you're too mellow with the dog, and it doesn't think of you as a good pack leader, so it's trying to get away to find a new pack.
No way. I've never heard that happening. Like, what, you have to be more dominant with the dog?
Yeah.
It's gonna like that?
Not that you have to be mean to them, but you have to just have a pulse, I guess. And this lady, I guess, she's my ex, let's put it that way. So, you know, she didn't have enough personality to entertain a dog, for a dog to want to be around her, I guess. So,
yikes. It's not that hard to entertain a dog. I mean, they come
you throw something. Yeah.
They tell you what they want, you know, as long as you can respond to that. I think you're solid. They love humans. Basically, if you're a human, they're going to love you.
Yeah, and they are pretty good at telling you what they want, whereas cats aren't. Cats just go, which is kind of like the aloha. It's the hello. It's the goodbye. It's the I'm upset. It's the I'm happy. Where dogs will like point. They'll point their nose at the ball they want to play with and things like that. And they'll lead you to the kitchen where the food is, things like that. Cats just yell.
But I've noticed cats, you can point to things and they figure out that it's like in a distance. With dogs, you point to stuff and they're just staring at your finger. I can never get a dog to look at what I'm pointing at.
Really? My cat Peanut cannot, if you pointed, he would just start playing with your finger.
Well, are your cats pack animals? Are you leader of the pack?
No. It's kind of, who knows, man? I guess in a way... Because, well, my wife and I, whatever room one or both of us are in, all three cats will end up in that room pretty quick. Which is, and it's kind of interesting because they don't necessarily come to like lay with us or be petted, or one of them will, but they kind of want proximity. They just want to be around the people and where the fun's happening.
Yeah.
But all three of my cats are the alpha cat in different things. With crunchy food, one of the cats is always dominant and pushes the other ones out of the way. With wet food, another cat pushes them all out of the way. And with chicken, if we're eating chicken and we throw little scraps to them, then the other cat is the dominant cat. We'll fight all the other cats over it.
You're observant to recognize those types of eating behaviors. I can't imagine. Cats can't go to the movies. They can't, sit down. And they sometimes watch TV. They watch whatever you're watching. But, you know, they can't... choose what sort of entertainment they want. So food must be the number one driver of like where the dominance comes from.
Do you ever think about getting a second cat? Because two cats is like eight times as much fun as one cat because they play with each other.
We had a dog with the cat, and that was really cute. The cat was new when the dog was old, and so they didn't fight or anything, and they got along. And the cat actually adopted some dog-like behaviors. You know, whenever we come home to the house. The cat runs over to the car and greets us, says hello, comes to the door, same thing. She's very dog-like. But no, never had a cat play with another cat. Just she plays with dogs.
We're going to get back to streaming video, we promise. But, you know, cats just, they distract us like shiny things, like shiny petable things. We'll be back on Michael Dean After Dark after this trip to the market.
This radio show is called Michael Dean After Dark. Go to michaelwdean.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available
And you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiend's message worldwide to as many Liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Yeah. This is Michael Dean. It's After Dark. We're discussing the possibility that cats are aliens. And if you're just tuning in, no, this isn't one of those late night shows where we actually think cats are aliens. But we think they have kind of very alien behavior. Like Derek pointed out that they kind of practice subtle mind control. Now, what do you mean by that, Derek?
Well, when I'm petting my cat, or when the cat comes over, there's a way for them to sort of tell you what they need. Like, they won't always meow. It sometimes will be this, like, stare down with the cat. I'm trying to, like, ask it in my mind, like, what do you want? And they sort of communicate it. You can see it. Like what a human would do if they couldn't speak, but they needed to communicate with their eyes.
Yeah. Now, what does this have to do with streaming activist video?
Well, because I was streaming video with my cat the other day, and I came across an unfortunate patent by Apple. And I learned that they're trying to stand in the way of my freedom.
They're trying to patent tyranny, basically.
I'm not going to let that happen because, you know, the world is filled with too many people who want freedom and have the skills to make it happen, like programmers. But, you know,
like Apple, Derek Slopey, like my friend who makes Meowbit with me.
Yep, he's one of those people who's building the solutions that I want to see, part of the free future. You know, this wonderful technology, it empowers individuals. You know, people are able to keep an objective record of what's going on. They don't need to hire some witness to follow them around. They can keep it in their pocket. But Apple wants to, well, they did patent a technology that makes it so that they can shut off things like cell phones and other wireless devices and turn off some of their features. They say, you know, it's with the best of intentions. They see that they can annoy people, especially in sensitive venues, like places like controlled by the government. But they want the ability to turn them off at religious ceremonies, weddings, funerals, academic lectures.
You know, I just had a thought about maybe why Apple patented this. Maybe it has less to do with, you know, trying to have a monopoly on this particular software protocol or action of software of turning off all the phones in a given area. Maybe it's so they could prosecute anybody who sells or even gives away anything that would defeat it. That's possible with patent laws sometimes.
I'm not sure I understand. Someone who's trying to shut off people's cell phones without permission, Apple would take them on and say, like, hey, you can't do that.
No. Okay. The theory, I mean, basically somebody came across this patent application. It was not something Apple made public, but patent applications that are approved are public record. They're in, you know, you can go to the patent office website and search them. And they have this patent that is to turn off all of the iPhones in an area. I don't think it would affect other brand of chromed robot turd, but, you know, to be able to turn off, basically for them to authorize someone else, like let's say the police, to turn off all the phones in an area so they wouldn't transmit or even record video locally. Now, let's say, you know, some porcupine festival type hacker, you know, or just let's say software enthusiast comes up with something that you can put on your iPhone that would defeat that if the police did it, you know, so they could not turn it off remotely with the same switch remotely. Apple could theoretically possibly go after the maker of that software for violating their patent or their, you know, when you turn on a new device like from Apple or any of these companies, it says, read our 10,000 word agreement and then click here. And you're like, no, I just want to use my new toy, man. And you click here and you've legally signed a contract by doing that.
I don't know about, I mean, yes, I guess.
You don't know about that?
Well, yeah, but I don't think that's how it should be done. I want okay. more consent. I want more.
You're saying in libpen. I thought you were saying no. That's not how the world works, and that's absolutely how the world works.
I understand. Yeah, when you're clicking through next every time you're installing something or adding a new app to your browser, yeah, you're making legal contracts. But I want a world where I'm informed about what's going on in my computer and with my rights. You know. So if I had an app that I developed that, say, defeated this type of technology, I would say, you have the right to use this technology however you want and share it with your friends. The end. Do you agree?
Well, there is a license like that. It's the GNU public license. It's the license that Meowbit is licensed under. All Linux software and Linux operating system, GNU/Linux is the true name of Linux, uses this license and has to basically to be able to develop other things that work in conjunction with things that use that. You have to use that same license or anything derived from it, actually. So it's this great open source community thing that actually has this contract. I actually read the contract the other day, the GNU license. It's written by legalese, by lawyers, originally sketched out by a socialist, which is kind of mind-blowing because it's a very freeing license. But he's kind of one of these like he's a confused socialist. He's kind of a freedom guy. He's an internet freedom guy, but he thinks the government should enforce everything to make everyone free, which doesn't make sense.
How long is the document?
It's about 15 pages long, and it basically boils down to the developer of this software says that anybody anywhere could do anything at any time with this software, regardless of whether or not I want them to. They don't have to ask permission. They don't have to run it by me. And they can do it now, in the future, on other planets that are discovered, or in the past if time travel is discovered. The end. And I'm kind of exaggerating about all that stuff, but it's like that ironclad. It's basically like nobody can stop anyone from doing anything they want with this, including repurposing it, selling it, giving it away, giving it a different name, as long as they use the same license in what they make.
Well, when I first heard about this Apple patent, I thought it was a totally different thing. I thought that they were actually patenting a technology that they didn't want to exist. For example, you know, I don't want
to protect the world from it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, we'll create this thing, make a patent so no one else can do it, and then we'll never use it. Yeah. Right? Because that would keep
people. That's not what's going on.
Yeah, but then I read in their statement, it says covert police or government operations may require blackout conditions. So then that scrapped that idea. I don't want blackout conditions. Keep the lights on.
The acid-eating Steve Jobs that started Apple would have patented something that was evil to prevent it from ever being used. But not the grown-up Steve Jobs that wanted to sue Android and went to his grave wanting to sue Android for making something like the iPhone but better. And, you know, he's not around anymore, and the company is it's kind of like Google. Like, the joke is Google used to have the motto, "Don't be evil." That was literally their corporate motto when they first started. And there's a meme going around somewhere that says Google's motto 2001, "Don't be evil." Google's motto 2008, "Evil is hard to define." Google's model 2013, "We build robots, flying robots for the military."
That's literally true now, isn't it?
Yeah. And the other one, the 2008, was like when it first came out that maybe Google was cooperating with law enforcement on things without warrants.
That's a little bit strange, but fortunately, the world is filled with good people who are learning how to program, and we don't have to worry about tyrannical people working for Google. We can just trust the nerds who love freedom.
Yeah, man.
And learn ourselves. I mean, I think there's more power in personal responsibility, because there's plenty of information on the internet. If you want to learn how to code, you can do it. I'm teaching myself Python right now because I think it's a useful skill.
You absolutely should. And here's something that's worked really well in my life recently that I would encourage is programmers and non-programmers to work together. Derek Slopey and I are doing this. I'm a non-programmer. But the amount of attention that we've gotten from Meowbit, he never could have done on his own, because he's not that kind of guy. He's not a power driving, you know, like the day we started working on that, I called you up, Derek J, and said, "I want to do an interview." And you're like, "Cool, let's do it now. And let's do another one 4 hours from now." And I'm like,
"That's right.
I'm there." Yeah. I'm like, I'm there. I'll do it. And a lot of programmers don't really have that kind of, you might even say ego drive. I mean, a lot of them think that they're, and I don't want to collectivize them, but basically what I'm saying, and Derek's a really together programmer. Like his life is really together. I've talked to a lot of programmers who like can't button their shirt and forget to wear socks out in the snow kind of stuff. Like literally like programmers that build a whole new method that replaces .com, but then forget to re-register the .com for their website when the renewal comes up, you know, like
code is inert. It doesn't do anything unless you put it out there. So it requires a human at spirit to push it, to share it. You know, the code is just going to sit there if people like you aren't out there spreading it around.
Yeah, it's kind of like a band. Like a really talented band can't really go anywhere without a good manager, because you can't concentrate on the music like you need to keep up writing and recording and touring great music without having some grunt making the phone calls and thinking of ideas and thinking of, you know, being having a publicist and a manager and things like that. And I encourage more programmers who are activist programmers to work in conjunction with one or two other people that can kind of run all that other stuff for them.
Oh, that's kind of a cool idea. I've never heard before, like a code manager, you know, yeah. like what a band would have.
Yeah.
But like, there's so many cool apps that are coming out. It's hard to keep track of them. You know, you've got the top listings on all your app stores, but that doesn't really tell me anything. I want to know specialized. What apps do I use for live streaming? What are the best features here? An app manager would be able to do something like that. You'd be able to get on radio shows and talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, and, you know, sometimes it's not needed because an app is just so easy to describe and it's something everyone wants, to where, like, you know, you send it to Boing Boing and they post it and it goes viral and then everyone has it. But it, that kind of stuff also can give you a huge uptick for like a day, and then like the second day you get half as much hits, and the third day, and in a week you're back to like what you'd have without having done that. So that doesn't really lead to longevity with something too. You really need somebody
pressure on, you know. You don't let the issue die. It's an important technology and it's going to stay relevant for as long as the code is being developed.
Yeah, I can guarantee you that no matter what I'm talking about at Porkfest when I give my talk there, I'm going to say, and go check out meowbit.com and like give one sentence on what it is and then go back to talking about, you know, podcasting or something.
Well, it's important to give plugs to these technologies, because if people don't know that there's this technology that they could use that will empower their lives and enhance their freedom today, well, that's a real shame, because it's right there waiting.
Yep. We'll be back with more with the final segment of Michael Dean After Dark after this trip through the darkness to the light of the store at the end of the tunnel to buy things in the market, the free market, the true free market. Worms.
You were destined to be listening to this show, Michael Dean After Dark, on this very night. Thank you for arriving. This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
And Derek was still talking when we came up, so I just muted him. It's what I do. This is Talk Radio Musical College. This is where we teach you on the fly and on the air to be a great Liberty talk show host. Derek is a great Liberty talk show host, but not on terrestrial radio. So he has to learn. He has to learn to just wing it, and to not be first fiddle. I think Derek's always first fiddle, aren't you, Derek?
That's how I like to be. Yeah. But I am learning a lot, and I think you're
a top. You're a radio top
in radio. But the best way to learn anything, I think, is by doing
sink or swim.
Yeah, and then figuring out later what you did Like, you do it first and then later analyze it. Be like, what did I do right? What did I do wrong?
Do you listen to your shows afterwards? I listen to all of them. Yeah.
Yeah, always. It's important.
I say it's like how, you know, ball players look at the game tapes. You got to learn from you got to see your mistakes to learn them. You can't, because when you're doing it, you can't see it live. So you got to look at it later. So what are your favorite things about Pork Fest? This is going to be the redemption in the third act. We always do this to send people to sleep happy instead of upset, because the world can be an upsetting place. So we got some freedom fixes here. Tell us about Pork Fest and your favorite things there at Porkfest, PORCFEST.com.
So one of the things that I didn't get to take advantage of last year was all of the dance lessons. And I'm so excited to see that this year there are six different dance lessons, merengue, ballroom, salsa, swing, speed, and social. They all happen on different days, so I get to spread them all out. I'm going to be a dancing machine at Pork Fest because, like you mentioned, there's the goth dance party and then the big gay dance party, and it should just all be a blast. And Pork Fest isn't just about dancing. You know, there's I am most interested to see speakers like you and people who are – I love seeing people who are doing things – like all around the world and around the country, like Pete Eyre went to South Africa to record about police abuse, what was going on there, and hold them accountable. I want to know what that was like.
I do too. That took guts, man. I mean, it's one thing to film cops in America, but South Africa they don't even have the limited protection of the Bill of Rights here. And that's a kind of place where historically dissenters have just disappeared.
Yeah. Well, also, there are going to be people broadcasting the entire time. You're one of them, and I'm going to be in that media room listening to all of the different live broadcasts. That's one of the most exciting things that I get to enjoy. You can hear the audience in the background clapping. When we do shows like this one, you don't get to hear the audience reaction live, but it's a totally different experience.
This show is going to be interesting to do live in that room, because by that time at night at Pork Fest, like I joked, the good Christian people are asleep and the only people who are awake are the deviant drunkards. But it kind of is like the weirdos come out after dark kind of thing there, isn't it? The weird energy, the cool energy.
Yeah, you know, campfires and people enjoy some adult beverages and have a good time. Some people sing songs, and I would be in that camp. I'm a late night type of guy, so
yeah,
sleeping in and enjoying the late night fires and dancing music. Also, there are going to be bands playing all 7 days. Like, it doesn't specify exactly which bands or by name. I would love to have websites. Some of them have them on porkfest.com. But I'm going to be in the bands area most of the time listening to the music.
What else is going on there that looks fun to you? There's one thing that's interesting that I'm going to go to, which is the public key signing event. Now, what that is, a lot of activists use encryption and use, PGP and use Pigeon and use, there's some things you can use in Namecoin, like an identifiable ID that is like, you can prove that you wrote something, that someone else didn't write it, or at least that it came from your computer. I guess if they came and killed you after asking you for your password, they could do it from your computer. But people also have like, sometimes we'll have, secret messages like, what you type if you're under duress to a friend, and then other things that they can ask you to type occasionally to make sure it's still you. And wow, you could meet these people in person, give them those codes, and then also exchange, you know, on a USB drive, your keys, so you absolutely know you've met this person in person and they are who they say they are. What do you think of that, Derek?
That is clever.
Yep. We'll see y'all at Pork Fest, and we'll be back with Derek. We'll be back tomorrow with the show. We'll be back with Derek next week on the show. Worms. Say worms.
Cool, boys.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah, no problem.
Can you let it play out? Because I record this for my archives.
Sure.
And left you in a better place than where we found you. We'll be here 5 nights a week, same time and channel. In the meantime, go to michaelwdean.com for more. That's michaelwdean.com. Thank you and have a wonderful evening. Good night.
A
little over a year ago,
thanks,
I
brother.
Began to do a lot of research.
Thank you, sir. Bye.
Yeah, take it easy. I'll see you in a couple days.
All right, bye-bye.
Thanks. It's Nathan, right?
It's Nathan.
Yes, correct.
Thanks, Nathan.
You bet.
Yep, arms.
Thank you, Michael.
Yep, take care, brother. I'll send you an email when this is up. It was a good show.
Good night.
Good night. And trace